Hello, this is Terry Faust. I'm here with Michael Leary. We're talking about his upcoming book, The Subverted Fairy Project. And I'd like to start by asking Michael, where did you get the idea for this?
Well, I was at an event in Northeast Minneapolis last year, and it was all about fairies. And I took my kids there, and we were walking around this art space, and all of the art there had this overriding, powerful theme of these thin, white girls with butterfly wings. And, you know, I'm constantly worried about sort of what my daughter ingests and sees. And I wasn't really happy with it. I mean, I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with necessarily the trope of the sprightly little girl that bounces around. But what I then did was came home and looked online, and it was like, if you Google fairies, you just get this motif, these skinny white girls with wings. And at the same time, I was reading Robert McFarlane's Landmarks, and he collected all of these words from Wales and Britain and Ireland that are spoken very colloquially in very specific regions about nature. And as I was going through the lexicons of those words, I was like, wow, these names of things, whether it's the way a sky looks, the way a forest feels, the way water runs across a rock, all these very specific words had these great sounding names that reminded me of fairies. And so I connected the two, and when I did that, I thought, well, let's see what we can do to break this trope and use these words, you know, get these words back out into another context and expose those, while at the same time trying to tear down something that I felt was either way overdone and somewhat problematic.
Do you happen to have any of the words that spring to mind? I know I had one that I worked on called a palmate, which is a hand-shaped leaf.
Right. And so there's so many great ones. There's one, carag, which is dense stone. And some of them have these really great, almost pop culture feels, like kank, which means hard sandstone, or yarf, which means swamp. And these sort of single syllable words especially evoked the fairies. But then you get into more complex ones like herringrow macho, which means crab. And they have this really delightful sound. Some of it's somewhat Gaelic. You're looking at what fairies kind of have a British Isle sense to them. So these words have that sound that makes me think of a fairy in nature doing a specific thing.
Now, your book goes beyond language or just the written language. You have assigned people to do art to represent these words. What caused you to do that?
Well, what I kind of found with the trope of the sprightly Tinkerbell sort of fairy is that it's so very specific. And I thought, what if you just gave one of these words and its meaning to an artist and said, with the idea of a fairy in mind, create a piece of artwork that would represent that fairy. This is not an illustration. We're not trying to encapsulate the contemporary notion of a fairy. We're trying to say, what is it about this word that makes you think of a supernatural, sublime force in nature that sort of calls back to, without directly referencing, some of the older ideas of fairies, and contemporize them, put it into your context? And I got a very diverse set of artists to do that. And in that diversity, I'm hoping that the art that comes out of it is not constrained by our pop culture ideas currently.
Well, where did you come up with this army of writers and artists to work on your book?
Oh, my friends. Lucky that way. I have a lot of really great creative friends.
Great. Where do you think this book is going to go? Have you scoped out an audience for it?
Well, I'm hoping that the audience for this book are folks who want to have some kind of connection with nature that fairies provide. There is a supernatural sensation that happens as we experience nature in very specific ways, whether that's staring deeply into the bark of a tree or watching a spider web jiggle in the breeze, or just consider the sublime nature of a waterfall. And those things are I know that people connect with those, and I know that people connect with the idea of the supernatural in those, and that fairies themselves were always kind of hiding in these areas and hidden inside of these crevices in these very specific ways. And so I'm hoping that we can connect into people who maybe do like the Tinkerbell idea of fairies running around in nature, but want something a little bit more deeper and less problematic than having the same, you know, racial stereotype, the same body type stereotype, and this kind of, these kinds of things that I really have turned me off of, the glut of fairies as they've been portrayed.
And you're basically stepping away from the Walt Disney view of fairies, I take it.
As far as possible, yes.
Okay, great. So in the future, when this book is out, are you looking at a sequel to it?
Certainly. One of the interesting things about this concept is that it goes beyond just the current words we're using. And it can have cultural dissection and lots of different ways of tearing the trope apart and including in this inclusiveness things that are more contemporary, across cultural experiences, across racial divides, these kinds of things. We want to be able to take this concept and apply it in as many areas as possible. So perhaps there are other sets of colloquial words in other languages beyond just the British Isles that can be done.
This is going to be a coffee table book, a picture book primarily, or is it going to, let me ask, how long are the stories?
The stories are one page on an 8x10 format, so you are looking at a coffee table style book, and so you're going to be seeing the image that the artist did, and then you're going to be confronted with a poem or a piece of maybe flash fiction or acrostics. We've got all kinds of different ways that the writers have responded to the art and the word's meaning, and in a very quick and compact format, we're trying to say, you know, we've got a book of 50 fairies, and here is an image of the fairy, here's the name of the fairy, here's what the name of the fairy means, and here is a writer's response to those three things. As opposed to, say, a normal illustrated book, which would be like the writer writes about a fairy, and then an artist reads the writer's writing and illustrates it. We've inverted that process, and we've created something more dynamic with a little bit more artistic freedom.
With the last name of O'Leary, and given these are Celtic words, is there a connection in your past, your ancestors?
Not particularly. I think the Irish motif in American culture has been commercialized to an almost unsalvageable point. I look at a lot of it as like Lucky Charms and Guinness and St. Patrick's Day parades, and I don't have a great deal of connection to that experience. Obviously, I am interested in my heritage, I think everyone is, and what the history of Ireland and the history of the British Isles in general has a lot to do with, you know, pieces of my identity, but it's not really a driver for this project.
Very good.
All right. Well, Terry, I would like to ask you one question. What is it that attracted you when I approached you and said, you know, hey, I've got this idea, would you like to be a part of it? What was it about it that attracted you?
Well, I'd actually been writing stories for friends who are artists. One person in particular is a barista in my favorite coffee house, and he had done portraits. And when I started to ask him about the portraits, the name of the person, their history, he said, oh, I don't have a name for them. I don't have a history. And I said, well, I'll provide one. And I had been doing a number of his portraits, and then another artist came up. She had been painting dramatic scenes between two or three people, and they were humorous scenes, and they usually had titles like, I'm sorry, we're out of meatloaf, in which the waitress looks at the poor patron. He's looking up in shock that they're out of meatloaf. And so I said the same thing. What's the story? Who are these people? What are their names? What is their history? And she likewise said, I don't have that. And I said, I will write it for you. And I've had a lot of fun working on these. And this is, in some regard, a similar situation.
Right. Right. And I think that's one of the great things about this project that differentiates it is the ability for the writer to respond to the art and the backstory there rather than the art and the backstory responding to the writer. And so I really appreciate you being a part of this project. And we have a really great crew. 16 people are involved, and we've got some amazing work out of it. Very diverse, lots of different media in the art, lots of different kinds of writing, lots of boundary pushing, things that aren't traditional and normal for a pop culture style book. So I want to let you know that I appreciate you being a part of it, and I appreciate everyone who has been a part of the Subvertive Fairy Project.
Well, it's an honor to be part of the book.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Terry.